Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Tes Zayin. We're holding four lines from the bottom of the Amid on Tes Vav Amid Beis. You'll recall that yesterday we had a Braisa. The Braisa was about three quarters down the Amud. In other words, go up about 15 lines. And the Braisa said that Ein moichren lehem loy zayin v'loy kli zayin v'ein mashchizin lehen es ha-zayin v'ein moichren lehem loy sadin v'loy kailorin v'loy chavolin v'loy shalshaloy shal barzel. Echad oivik echovim v'echad kusi. You're not allowed to sell any of these weapons to either a pagan or to a kusi. My taima says, you are inem de chashiri ha-shvichas damim. Is it because shvichas damim? Etc. What do we see from this? That you're not allowed to go and sell these items to a pagan. And the reason is because of Chamoira, Chas V'Sholem, about Shvichas Dam. Zokti Gemara, what happens about selling now Teresin? Teresin are shields. Does that go in the same category that you're not allowed to sell them? So now start Tanner, Abonim, three lines from the bottom. Ein Moichin Lehen Teresin. V'yesh Oimim Moichin Lehen Teresin. And Machloik is whether you're allowed to go and sell shields to these same pagans that we spoke about before, yes or no? Says the Gemara, my time. What would be the reason that ain moichren lehen? Ilay mishum demagmi alayu. If you're going to tell me the reason is because you are saving them by giving them these shields, and because these are pagans who unfortunately engage in shvichas damim against yin. Unfortunately, they have pogroms and they have other type and crusades and all types of terrible things against the Jews. That's why you're not supposed to sell them the weapons. And therefore you're saying, and don't sell them either treason, which are shields, which are going to protect them. Pray tomorrow, if that's the case, if we don't want to go and protect them, we shouldn't even sell them even chitim usa'oirim. That should also be prohibited, because that also gives them life. And therefore, you, it gives them blood that can flow through their arteries and veins when chas v'sholem they want to kill Jews. So it shouldn't be just an iser on shields. Don't allow for the sale of chitim musa'irim. Everything on amarav e efshir, or actually you should read it e efshir hachanami. What means e efshir? If it would be possible, not e efshir impossible, but e. If efshir, it would be possible to stop selling them chitim usa'oirim hochanami. That would be a great idea, because these pagans, unfortunately, are so anti-Semitic. Not only will they get together and they make parades about genocide and this and that, the other thing, and from the ocean to the sea and the sea into the ocean, they would actually do it. Give them the pistols, give them the rifles, give them the means, they will start shooting immediately because they hate us Jews. So if we could separate from them and not transact business and not sell them any food items, that would be a good idea. However, says the Gemara, says Rashi, e'efshir b'loy eva. It's impossible to do that without causing terrible enmity and sinna with the pagans, and chas v'sholem that would lead to further bloodshed. So, yes, we are duty-bound to go and sell them food items. But to go and sell them shields, tushinisht. Ikriyamid is another pshat, Teresin hainu taima d'loy. You know why we don't sell them shields? The chisholem zinayu, katli bigavayu. Because when they go out to battle, and when their swords are, they drop their swords, or they get dented, or they're no longer working, and their spears are no longer available to them. In other words, if they are in a battle, and they have used their swords, and they've used their spears, and they have nothing left, the only thing they have left is their shield. They'll take the shield and use it also as an offensive weapon. They'll take it off, they'll bang it over people's heads, and chas v'sholem, they'll kill them that way. And therefore, don't sell them treason, because they are back up klei zayin. V'yesh oimrim, however, the others disagree, and they say moichen lehem treason. Why? Because you're wrong. D'chisholem zinayu. When their weapons are done, there's nothing left, they're depleted. Ma'arik arki, they don't use their shield as an offensive weapon, but instead, zeymachen apleta, they run away. they'll keep their shield with them, because if somebody pursues them, then they may try to go and use it offensively. But that's not what they are intended for. They're going to use it as defensively as possible, and if they deplete their weapons, they're going to run for the hills. How do we paskin? Are you allowed to sell them trisim or not? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua, halacha ki esh oimrim. Yes, you are allowed to sell them shields. Now, what's the reason why you're allowed to go and sell them shields? We'll see in the Gemara in another few lines. Zokti Mora Vaiter, Omer of Ada Barahava, Ein Moichel Lehen, Ashoshio Shel Barzel. Do not sell to Akum, to these pagans, Ashoshio Shel Barzel. Shoshio Barzel explains Rashi means pieces of iron. What's the reason why? My time, Mishum Dechal Shiminayu Klei Zayin. Because instead of selling them the final product, the actual weapons themselves, they're going to go and take these bars of iron. Chalshi means they will flatten them out and manufacture clay zayin from them. So you're going to give them, so to speak, the raw material which they can use to make clay zayin. We shouldn't allow for the sale of shovels and hoes and adzes and things of that nature, because even though they are innocent farming instruments, they'll take it and they'll bang away and flatten them out, and they'll make spears and they'll make swords out of it. So therefore, again, you're giving them the raw materials to make kli zayin. Amar Rav Zvid b'parzla hindua. What's I spit parzla hindua? That's Indian barzel, Indian iron, which Rashi says that was miyuchad for manufacturing kli zayin. If you look at Rashi, four lines from the top, five lines, b'parzla hindua. Shul Eretz Hoidu of India, Shein Oysen Oysa El Lekle Zayin. The only thing that they use that Indian iron for is for clay zayin. So that seems to be the best material to use. So that you're not allowed to sell. But Mori V'chatzini, which was just made out of iron generally, not of Indian iron, that's okay. That's not a problem. Zok Dimor V'idna Dekomaz V'ninan. Today we do sell them the Indian barzel, so you see that you're not makpid on this. Amravashi leparsoi de magni ilavon. We're talking about that at that time they allowed them to sell it to the Persians, because of course the Persians would go and protect us. What means that they would protect us? There were of course always battles and wars between the Persians and the Romans and the Babylonians and so on and so forth. And so therefore, if we are living among the Persians, the fact that we've supplied them with this good Indian metal, iron, that they can use to go and manufacture all different types of clay zayin, that's to our benefit. Because, unfortunately, they might use it against Jews, but hopefully that will only be a backup option. But the main thing that they're going to use it for is going to be to go and protect us against the other nations. So if you look at the top, Toisvis, the parsoi de magni alon venira da nam nami sharinan hashtel limker the oit kum kli zayon me hai taima. That's why, even though we had a brisa before that says don't sell them any dangerous weapons, any offensive weapons, yeah. However, if you're talking about our protectors, the government, if we're living among in Iran with all the Persians and we need the Persians to defend us against the Romans and against the Greeks and against the Babylonians, so al karcha, we have to go and sell them not only clay zayin, but also the Indian iron, as well as the treason, all for that same reason, because they are our protectors. Fortunately, that may not be the case today. As we know, we just went through a war with the Persians. But at least that was at the time of Chazal. Now we go back to our Mishnah. Golem usiyachim. Remember, we had in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to go and sell to these pagans. If we go back to Yud Dalid Omid Beis 14b, you're not allowed to sell them the Hemagasa, Agolim, Siyochim, Shleimin, Ushvurin. Why are you not allowed to go and sell them the Hemagasa? You remember we discussed it at length yesterday. And the Gemara concluded the reason is because the actual Mechira itself, Min HaTorah, is not a problem. But they made a Gzeira, Gzeira Mishum She'ela, Mishum Schirus, Mishum Nisyuni. What was that? As we know, not only a Jew is not allowed to do work on Shabbos, but also his animals are not allowed to do works on Shabbos because of the din of Shvisas Behemtoi and Mechamer that we discussed yesterday. However, says the Gemara, even though the actual sale minatoyr is not a problem, because it's only an iser if a Jewish-owned animal does work. But if an animal is owned by a goy, no problem, he's allowed to work on Shabbos. However, what happens if you're going to go not only sell them, you might decide to lease your animal, or lend an animal, or let the purchaser test the animal right before Shabbos, and then it's going to go into Shabbos. Oh, because of those, we made a gzeira, don't sell them any animals. But notice the Mishnah says not only full-fitted, fine, able-bodied animals, but even shleiman ushmurin, even an animal which is broken, I guess a broken leg, a broken foreleg, or whatever. And Rabbi Yehuda mater b'shvura. So now the Gemara is going to explore what's the machloket between the Tanna Kamma. He says shvurim are osur, and Rabbi Yehuda says a shvura is mutter. Zokti Gemara. Agolim musiachim. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, back to Tazayin Amud Aleph, Agolim musiachim. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda mater b'shvura. You know why? Neisha eni yecholah lehisrapois velichyois. Because a shvura, you don't have to worry that the other person is going to do malacha with that shvura on Shabbos, the gzeira of the borrowing or the lending, the leasing, the nisyuni. You don't have to worry. Why? This shvura is anyway incapable of doing any work at this time because it has a broken leg and it's not going to have a refuah 1, 2, 3. So what are you going to do with it? You're going to go and shecht it, because there's really no other usage. Rashi adds one more knach means one more wrinkle, that I don't want a situation where people are going to see that Jews are selling shvurois to the Akum, to the pagans, because you know what might happen? The person who sees that doesn't realize that the animal is a shvura. So if the Akum is going to hold on to this animal for some period of time, a Jew might go by and see, ooh, I remember that animal used to belong to Yankel. Yankel sold it to this Akum. I guess it's mutter to go and sell animals like that to the Akum. And he won't know that it is a shvura. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to worry. And yechol l'srapis v'lichyois. Since it's not going to have a refuah, nobody's going to have the incentive to hold on to it, but rather they're going to go and shecht it immediately and going to go and eat it. Look at the Rashi, 8 lines from the top. Says Rashi, she'en yechol l'srapis u'mistom l'shchita zavna. He probably sold it for shchita. V'loi mashile, v'loi chozile Yisrael bei oivit kechovim. I don't have to worry about that Yisrael is going to see it in the house of the Akum, the tepik churba minei, the zvune shleima. I don't have to worry about like a gzeira, like the chachamim say, that don't sell a shvura. Why? Because people are going to see that you sold it to the Akum. The Akum is going to hold on to it for a day, for a week, for a month. And people say, oh, you see, you're allowed to go and sell animals to the Akum. No, no, no. As soon as he gets it, the same day, the next day, he's going to go and use it for shechita purposes. He's going to eat it. No purpose in holding on to this animal because it's not going to have refuah anyway. So you can, that's why Rabbi Yehuda is matir b'shvura. Amalai. So the Chacham said, okay, granted that it's not going to have refuah, it's not going to do malacha, but that you say that he's not going to hold on to it, he will hold on to it. But marbiyan oleha v'yoleves. Assuming that this is, for instance, a female animal, then they're going to go and find other fine animals to mate with this female animal. The female animal is going to go and produce offspring. And since we're going to try to get this animal to mate and to have children, then you will hold on to it after all. Not you. The Akim will hold on to it after all. And again, don't I have the chorva, says Rashi. Tepik min ha-chorva lizvune shleima. People will see that a Yid sold an animal to an Akim, and the Akim is going to hold on to it not for a day or two, for shchita. He's going to hold on to it for a year or two or longer to produce new offspring. Oh, so you're allowed to go and sell animals too, and Akum, and they will realize that this is a shvura, and they'll think you're allowed to even sell a shleima. So the chayra, that's a very good svara, and that's why the Tanakhama says, Rabbi Yehuda, how are you mata b'shvura? Even though the animal cannot and will not do malacha, however, if it's going to stick around in the base, habalabayis, the Akum, people will think that you're allowed to sell shleimas as well. So therefore, you should be goyzer. Now, even though the Gemara is only talking about a nekeva, the second toisa says, the second same svar applies to an animal which is a zocher. That also he's going to hold on to the zocher to be marbia, other nekevois, animals that the Akum owns. The Akum already owns 5, 10, 20 nekevois, and he's going to mate the zocher, even though the zocher is a shvura, or a shavur, he's going to go and mate, he's going to hold on to these animals. Omlan says, Rabbi Yehuda, likishateleit. When that happens, we'll worry about it. What's the expression? We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. What's the reason why? Dr. Yomara, Alma loy mekabeles zachar. When you're talking about a nekeva that never has a shvura, she is in pain, and she's not interested in tashmish with another animal which is a zachar. And presumably, the same thing would apply to a zachar, that if the zachar is a shavur, he also has lost appetite to go and live with an akeva. And so therefore, Zotach, Rabbi Yehuda, you have nothing to worry about. When an Akum buys a shvura or a shavur, it's not going to last for more than a day or two or three, because the Akum cannot use it for malacha, he cannot use it for harba'a, the only thing he can use it for is shchita, he's going to shecht it, and you don't have to worry about a kilkel that people will see that you sold animals to the Akum.
Isn't it far-fetched? First of all, the whole reason is that they are maybe in the Chamer or what have you, and that's only the case that he's not selling it totally. We're worried that maybe he'll rent it, lend it to him, and then he'll be Chamer. So it's a gazer almost.
Anytime you find which appears to be gzera, the same teretz the Mefarshim always give, kulachad gzera. So why sometimes you say gzera gzera and sometimes you don't? The answer is, sometimes there is a real big problem and issue, and therefore the Chachamim had to expand the gzera. Other times it wasn't a big issue. It all really depends. You know, the Gemara says, tovish leshchiach ligozer beirabban. So something that is shchiach, that one thing can lead to the next thing, can lead to the next thing, they made one kulachad gzeri. However, things that they thought were kind of remote, unusual, far-fetched, then they said, okay, we're not going to go and make it any further than we have to. So, you know, if you happen to be in the agriculture business, and therefore some people are tilling and cultivating the farms, or the gardens and all the rest, and then the other people that are supplying them with animals to do the plowing and to do the cultivating of the fields. So this was, you know, quote-unquote, a big business. It's not like today. How many cattle sellers do you know? How many people, cattle owners, do you know? I don't know anybody, because there are very few farms here around in New York City. It's a lot of animals, unfortunately, two-legged animals and four-legged animals, especially in the West Side, that there are. However, people that go and sell, whether it's oxen or cows, or kolim siyachim and shvurim, this is not something commonplace to us. Anyway, getting back to the end of the Mishnah ends off, then b'seira matir b'sus. Even though you cannot go and sell other behemoths, gasois, you're allowed to sell a horse. Why? Tanya ben b'seira matir b'sus, from the issue, oise bay malacha shein chayom and alea chatos. The worst comes to worst. What do you use susim for? For rechiva, for riding. Riding on an animal is not osir min hatoira, and the reason is because chai noise es atzmoi. So why can't you go and ride on a horse on Shabbos? Everybody's going to scream at the same time, because you might go and cut off
a branch and use it for a prod.
Exactly. Now, is that an Issa D'Oraisa, or that's a Gzeir Midraban? Sorry?
That's on your chest. That's on your chest.
On the horse, and like Shabbos, when you use it on, we'll snap off a branch and get to give it a zest.
Right. So, to give it a...
It was common.
Yeah, what about selling a horse?
It
could be considered a weapon.
But you can work the horse in shop. The horse also could be working the land too, you know. The horse depends on how they use it for whether they use cows for the shop.
So Ariel says, why don't you say that a sus is prohibited because it can be used as a weapon? Ariel, you have now paved the way to the next Shtickl Gemara. So now it's not that difficult to understand because you have broken the ice, so to speak. So Zokti Gemara. So Ben Beseder says, Mater Besus, because there's no chshash of an Issa D'Araisa, only an Issa D'Rabbanan, and because of that, I'm not worried about that I'm going to lend it or rent it to the Goy and he's going to use it for Rechiv on Shabbos. Okay, he used it for Rechiv on Shabbos. The sus is not over an Isser, and you, the owner of the sus, are not over an Isser D'Araisa, because the Isser D'Araisa of Shvises Behemtai does not apply. Only Isser D'Rabban, because it's only Isser D'Rabbanan. The Ban said, worst comes to worst, if the Goy is Nisyuni, he's going to go and try out the sus on Friday night, or he's going to go and he's going to borrow a sus and rent a sus. Okay, it's not an Issa D'Araisa. You're going to tell me this is Issa D'Rabbanan? There's no Issa D'Rabbanan here either, because who is going to go and break off the branch of the tree to prod the animal? The Akum. The Akum has no problem with breaking off branches from trees, so there won't be any problem at all. So that's Ben Beseder. Rabbi Oyser, Rabbi in our Mishnah, says that all behemois, he doesn't exclude a sus, he holds that sus is also included. Why? Echad Mishom, Toyris Kli Zayin. This is what we just heard from Ariel a moment ago, because it can be used like a weapon. In which respect, we'll see in another moment, Rabbi Sai. The Echad Mishom, Toyris Behemagasa, or it's because of Behemagasa. What does that mean? Again, more explains. There are animals where if you're going in battle and you are riding on the back of that animal and the soldier that is fighting against you falls to the ground, what you might do is take your animal and have it trample on that fallen soldier to go and kill the enemy. So therefore, the sus could be used as an offensive weapon. Oh, I understand why Rabbi says don't sell it. He said before, you're not allowed to sell Kli Zayin. El Teres Behemagas Mai. What does he mean that the sus is Teres Behemagas? Behemagas by definition means that it does work for you, such as plowing the fields. Horses don't plow fields. Horses like to horse around. So Ibazoi, what's the Teres Behemagas? Amr B'Yoychanan, the Kishiyaskin. When the horses become older and people don't use them anymore for car services or for horse services to go from place to place, matchina berechayim, and we're worried about b'shabos. What does that mean? That in the good old days, how did they go and crush and grind tavua, for instance? They had a rechayim. And that we're not talking about a water mill, we're talking about a mill that was driven by animals. They didn't have electricity years ago. So animals would go and tread on this mill, and therefore the wheel would go around and around and caused the crushing and the grinding of tvua. Well, you're certainly not allowed to go and grind on Shabbos. So therefore that's the problem. If I'm going to be allowed to go and sell a horse to an Akum, just like I'm concerned about, if I'm selling a cow to an Akum, what's the cow going to do? Instead of selling, the person might come to lease it or to lend it or to finish uni, and we're going to have a problem of work on Shabbos by an animal owned by a Jew. Same thing applies, says Rebbe, to a horse, because although a horse you cannot use right now for plowing the field, but eventually, as it gets older, what are you going to use it for? You can't use it anymore for driving. Ready, the motor is broken, and you can't use it anymore. So you're going to go use it for matchen rechaim b'shabbos, and that's why it's awesome. That matir b'sus. Okay, now the Gemara asks the shayla. Ibaylu, shor shel petem mahu. Shor shel petem means a shor that was used to fatten up, and it became really grub and fat, corpulent. And this animal can no longer be used for malacha because it can hardly stand on its feet, let alone go and plow a field. So now, can you sell this to an Akum? Yes or no? Says Imarti by the Rabbi by the Rabban. L'choira, it would be dependent on the Shaila of Rabbi Yudah and Rabban and our Mishnah. Timboy the Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah that you cannot go and sell them. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda is matir bishvura. Rabbi Yehuda says, since the animal cannot do malacha because it's shvura, you're allowed to go and sell a shvura. Aha. See, boy, Rabbi Yehuda. Ah, kadikash Rabbi Yehuda lebishvura. Tuli also lechal malacha. That's only the gabi shvura, which we said before. Eino yecholil hisrapois. I guess the veterinarians and the surgeons and the hospitals in the good old days were not able to go and fix a broken limb of an animal to the point that the animal should be able to do malacha. Maybe they can go and fix it, he can walk, but certainly not to do malacha. That's a shvur l'chal malacha, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda was matir. Avul hai, the chimashi le'osin l'chal malacha. What happens if you leave this animal with its new owner, and the new owner is going to give it a very festive, strong diet, and it's going to lose 200, 300, 500 pounds, now it'll be able to do malacha. Oh, so even Rabbi Yehuda might hold that it's osur, because even though now you cannot do malacha, but wait a little bit, wait a month or two, and skinny it down, and it'll be able to do malacha, and therefore it should be osur. Oydim afil rabbanon, loika asri hasan. You know the reason why the rabbanon asered in the case of the shvura, because in all likelihood, the reason why he bought it was not for purposes of shechita. Why did he buy the shvura? Says Rashi, lirabois, to go and for revia purposes, to go and produce new offspring. And even though Rav Yehuda said, ah, come on, the shekatele, it has pain, but apparently the rabbanim disagree and they feel, no, one could use it after all for that purpose and be megadol v'lodos. Aval hai, the stomach of shechita koi, this, when you find a cow which is 1,000 pounds, and let's assume the average cow is only 800 pounds, this is 1,000 pounds, and therefore it cannot, because of its weight, it cannot do any malacha, so why would anybody buy such an animal for shechita, for meat? So for the Rabbanan, sure, it could be that even the Rabbanan wouldn't be matir. So therefore, even though Rabbi Yehuda normally is matir b'shvura, maybe over here he would aser, because shvura will never be able to do malacha. But this fat animal, if you go and skinny it, then you would be able to do malacha. So maybe even Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's asur. And the Rabbanan would say over here that it's asur by a shvura, skonzain, they would say that here it be mutter, because it's crystal clear. Anybody that buys an animal which is so fat, you're buying it for meat, you're not doing it for malacha. Right. It's a chagutashai. It's Toshima. Zimor tells us an interesting story. What does this mean? Don't get misled when it says that they would bring for a takrovis. Chas v'shalom. Rashi says makriven means that annually they would give a present of a shor shel petem to the king, to the kaiser, b'yoyim edam, on the day of their holiday. Why did they do that? Because they felt duty bound to go and, because of Eva, to go and show the king, the kaiser, how loyal we are. So Beis Rebbe would go and send them a shor shel petem, this type of overgrown, corpulent, stout, fat animal on Yomita. Now, the Rebbeinu Chananel says it was sent to them al das, that it should not be brought for a takrovis. If you're going to bring it for a takrovis, forget about malacha. We go back to the earlier part of our Masechta, that you're now let to go and sell them animals. They're going to use the moid in their churches and all the rest. Here we're talking about a situation that was a stipulation that we're not going to use it. Where is this Rabbeinu Chananel? Rabbeinu Chananel in my Gemara is on the left-hand margin. You'll see about halfway down, it says in bold, Yerushalmi. Does everybody have that? Anybody have that? Barry, you have that Yerushalmi? Okay, now skip down about 5 lines from where it says Yerushalmi, and then you see the Rabbeinu Chananel begins. Hodi Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Shel Beis Rebbe Hoyu Makriven Shor Shel Petem B'yoyim Idam. What does that mean? They were makriv this Shor Shel Petem? Pirish. Zesh Omer Makriven Mincha Hoyu Noisten LeBeis Kaiser. The Loshen Mincha means a present they would give to the Kaiser. Miloshen Targum Mincha Takruvta. If you look up the word mincha in Parshas Vayikra, you'll see in Targum Lashon it's called takruvta, which therefore that's why our Gemara uses the term makriven. Avaloyl hakrova lavodischam. Chas v'sholem. You see, Rabbi Nechadam throws in chas v'sholem. Not for hakrova, not for avodah zarah. Just as a sign of a present to the king, to the kaiser. We're your citizens. We're on good terms with you. We want to go and show our allegiance to you. But chulila, nothing to do with avodah zarah. So this is what they would do on their holidays. However, the Beis Rebbe felt very uncomfortable about supplying them the Shor Shel Petem, and therefore they wanted to change this minhag. We don't know how long this minhag was until this point, but at least for a year or two or three, they used to do this, and they felt uncomfortable with all of this. Rashi points out that this is an avoidas bizoyen hoisa, to stuff the Shor throughout the year until it got so corpulent. This was considered to be a very demeaning type of occupation, and they felt uncomfortable. We want to get rid of this minhag. So what do they do? Says the Gemara. Chaser dalet rivavon she'ein makriven oise hayoim el lemachar. They realized that they wouldn't be able to, in 1 year, end this minhag. So they wanted to gradually stop the minhag. And what did they do? So the first year they gave him dalet rivavon. Rivavan comes from the word riboy. Riboy means 10,000. So dalet the rivavan means 40,000. It doesn't say 40,000 what? Presumably a 40,000 very small denominations of coins. You're talking about 40,000 of shkolim or mana, you know, that would be in the millions. We're talking about smaller coins, 40,000. She'ein makriven oisayim elamachar. To go and change the minig that we don't have to go and deliver the shor shel petem on the holiday itself. We're going to deliver it the day after. That's what they did 1 year. The next year, they gave them again, Chosid Dalet Rivavan, She'in Makriven Oisei Chai, El Eshochet. Then instead of going and giving them as a present, A Leibedika Shor Shel Petem, rather they gave them a Geshochtena. In other words, it was already dead meat, and the presumption is, what are they going to use a Shor Shel Petem for? Anyway, for meat. So instead, they would go and shecht it first, and send them over 1,000 beautiful packages with nice cellophane over it, and with a glakusha seal, and give it to the Kaiser. Yes, Ariel, I see you have a question.
Yeah, I mean, the Mishnah earlier on says, like, 3 days before their yontif, we don't engage in business with them. But here, on their actual day of yontif, we're giving them a present. Doesn't that sound, I don't know, it doesn't jive.
Very good question. So, first of all, remember there were two reasons that Gemara gave before not giving them animals. One of the reasons was because of the Ne'iva Le'sitzen Michsho, that you're going to go and give them an animal, they're going to use it for Hakrova, for the Avodah Zarah, and even though they are Akum, they're not Jewish, however, even the Noahides have the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and therefore, by giving them that animal, you are now facilitating their bringing this akrova for their avodah zarah. And that's why Rabbeinu Chananel was concerned about your question and said, Chas v'sholem, this would not be used for hakrova avodah zarah. Why? Either because this was not considered to be a presentable hakrova, or they may have stipulated with them, we give you the present, but don't use it for hakrova. But clearly, says Rabbeinu Chananel, don't worry, no hakrova whatsoever. And also, now, because of the fact that this was an avoider of bizoyon, it could be that, you know, if you see these, you rarely see a heavy animal because we don't normally see animals these days. However, if you see a person who happens to be 800 pounds, which you, maybe not 800, but 500, 600, it really looks kind of distasteful when you see it. So it could be when you see such a person, you would probably say kapitel tilim that he should hopefully be able to get from one block to the other walking. But the point is, I don't know that they looked upon this as suitable shor for purpose of avodah zarah. What was suitable for was for eating, for having a party. Oh, that's the reason why Taka, they paid another 40,000 to reduce it from the high amount that we spoke about before, that it shouldn't be ag chai, it should be shochet. So, again, that would lower it. And the next year, Dalet Rivavan, when they paid another 40,000, Shemakriven, Oisei Kalika, to stop this meaning altogether, not to have to bring this present. And it could very well be that the reason why they were willing to pay so much money 3 times 40,000, 120,000. And, you know, it's not $120,000. It's, you know, with the CPI, Consumer Product Index, we're probably talking about into the millions. Why did they do that? Probably for the reasons that you're saying. They didn't want to continue this minhag. They were concerned about the Mishnah, about being moided to the Avodah Zarah. Oh, we got this huge present, etc. So they wanted to get rid of this altogether. Why did they do it the first time? How did the minhag start initially? Presumably they, because of Eivah or Sinah, or to show their allegiance. We're not talking about individual Jews, we're talking about Beis Rabbi. As you know, Rabbi, we said before, in the Gemara, was very close to Antoninus, and therefore there was a big kesher between the Rebbe and Beis Rebbe and the Kaiser. So they probably figured this would be a good way to appease and to keep the friendship going. But not Fakra, the Chas V'Shalom, nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. But we're just giving you this big present, so we should remain on good terms. But as years went on, they wanted to end it, and that's why they bribed them, so to speak, to give them a lot of money to finish this off.
Right.
Good. So from now on, we don't do it anymore. Good.
Don't do what? We don't. I'm just saying, like, Kal Vachomer, if in the first Mishnah it says 3 days before their yontif, mm-hmm. don't have engage in any sort of business or whatever, mm-hmm. so Kal Vachomer, on their day of celebration, you shouldn't be giving them anything. If the Mishnah goes so far to say 3 days before their yontif, you're not supposed to have any sort of
Ariel, you're asking an excellent question. So the two reasons why we're not allowed to do it is either because of Lifnei Iver or because they're moided to the Avodah Zarah. So Lifnei Iver, we don't have a problem because of the Rabbeinu Chananel stipulated they cannot use it for Hakrav. As far as the fact that they're moided, apparently the Beis Rebbe felt they had no choice, and that gets into one of the first choices in an Amasechta. How do we go and supply and sell nowadays before Yom Edom? So one of the major reasons is because of Eva, because of Sinah. That was the reason why we said at the top of the Amud that you're allowed to go and sell them the Trisim, or even the Chitim Sa'orim, the Gemara said at the top, is because of potential of Eva. So Beis Rebbe felt that they had no choice, but they wanted to end this minig as quickly as possible, and so therefore they kept on paying them huge, huge sums of money, almost as a bribe, to end this minhag, so they shouldn't have to give them any more animals or presents on the Yom Edom. Okay, so that's the story. So now, why did we bring this story? We're bringing the story because we're trying to answer the question, Shor Shel Petem, are you allowed to go and sell it to a goy or not allowed to? My timer, what's the reason why they wanted to pay, they paid so much money to end this minhag? La Misham Dilma Asel Shu'yeh. Presumably the reason is because if we were going to continue this minhag, we're going to allow them to go and sell the Shor Shel Petem to the Goyim, you know, it's when, in this case, Beis Rebbe giving it to the Kaiser, what might happen is they're going to skinny it down until the animal is of normal size, weight, height, etc., and it's going to do malacha. Ah, so you see that there is this concern about giving or selling animal the Shor Shel Petem. So we can be poshed our shaila. You're not allowed to sell a Shor Shel Petem, just like Rebbe's base Rebbe was willing to go and pay these huge fortunes, not to have to continue giving them the Shor Shel Petem. This may have been the consideration. This may have been the concern that they're going to skinny it and then they're going to use it on Shabbos. Let me ask you a question. That's very good on the third stage, when they paid the third 40,000, not to have to give it to them at all. But why initially did they go and change it from the Yom Id to the day after? Is it because of that the Shemay Osel Shehuyay? What difference does it make if you give it to them on the holiday, you give it to the next day? And the Rebbe Me'ekar Miltzabai, Rebbe Obeis Rebbe wanted to end this minhag of giving them this Shor Shel Petem. V'sovar Yi'oker, V'osi Porta Porta. I cannot go and be oiker the minhag all in one day, in one year. Slowly but surely. The first year we're going to go and postpone it from Yom Id to the next day, to Mocher. The next year they're going to go and pay another bribe, another enormous amount of money to go, instead of giving Chai, to give it Shochet. And the next year, hopefully we'll give him a third time money and abolish this minig altogether. So it has nothing to do with this chash legabe doing malach on Shabbos. So bottom line is, we tried to.
Ben used to get $40,000 a year, you know.
That's a lot of money. If you remember, a few days ago on Shabbos, the Gemara told us that Antoninus would send on a daily basis a huge leather container full of crushed gold, and on the opening of the container he put chitim, so that when we'd ask his servants to go and deliver that gold to Rebbe, that they shouldn't look in the bag and say, oh, you're giving these huge amounts to the Yidden, how can you do that? That's why he covered it with chitim. After a few days, Rebbe wrote back, or he called him on the phone, and he said, Antoninus, it's very nice that you're sending me these presents. Sishinganuk, we got plenty already. Antoninus said, no, you have enough, but in future generations, it's good that your children and grandchildren have this big largesse, because I know that my future generations, future Kaisers, are going to tax the Jews enormous amounts, so you should have this backup to be able to go and pay them the huge sums of money that they're going to ask. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, one thing the Gemara says I don't understand. If you start off with an animal that is overweight, hugely overweight, a shoshal petah, if you're going to skinny it down, you think it's going to be a royal melacha? It hasn't worked for years. Maybe it never did any work in its life. It's so lazy, it won't be able to do any melacha. Are you telling me it's going to become a healthy animal, be able to do work? Ravashi said, Omali Zvida, Zvida, says Rashi, was the name of a Sharshel, a owner of Sharshel Petims. In other words, he would deal with this type of commodity. And he said that Bartura, when you have a Shar, who just tak a heavy Sharshel Petim, Mashinan Le, if you go and hold on to it and you skinny it down, the Ovid Al Chad train, it is stronger and will do better malacha, two times as much as any other animal that was skinny all along. So this would be a good thing to do, to skinny it down, because it's going to be a gewaltige, starke bal malach. Okay, on to the next mission. Look to Mishnah. This is similar to what we were just talking about, selling them klei zayin, klei neshek. Don't sell them wild animals, because these wild animals will also chas v'sholem engage in shvichas damim, because they are wild animals, bears and lions, any other type of thing that can go and cause massive nezik for the oil. We're going to talk about this more in the Gemara, but now we change channels a little bit. You're also not allowed to help them in construction of basilki. That's what we call today a basilica. What was the problem with this basilica? So Rashi says the basilica that we're talking about in our Mishnah was used, number one, as a courtroom, and then after that, when they decided that the person should be sentenced to death, they took him onto the porch, or they took him to the terrace, or onto the roof, and they threw him down onto the ground to go and kill him. So therefore, this basilica was a place where they used to go and kill people, and presumably Jews. Also, don't help them out with a gardem. Gardem, Rashi says, is another type of binyan where they also used to go and kill people, execute people. Itzdadaya is a stadium, and that they have even today, that you have the Shoru Itzdadin, that you have the bullfights in Spain, and what do the bulls do? They don't take any bull, but rather they go and kill people. And unfortunately, they would go and throw people into the stadium and have these bull go and kill them. So this is also a mokum of Shvichas Damim. They have it even today. And my wife and I visited Spain a few years ago on one of these Jewish tours, and one of the times they took us to such a bullfight in the stadium. I have to tell you, it was one of the... Yes, and after my wife and I were there for about 5 or 10 minutes, we said, we are leaving. This is so terrible. It's such cruelty, such achzorius. And as much as you and I think about it as cruelty and achzorius, you should have seen the Spaniards standing up and applauding, and you could see in their eyes, shvichas damim. that they were looking for blood, looking for blood. It's terrible. Anyway, therefore, do not participate in the construction of these stadiums. And the same thing applies to a bima. What exactly is a bima? A bima is an altar that was used by the Oyvdei Chacham, by the pagans, to go and bring their kabanis or their takroivis on that altar. Is that the problem of that? No, that's bima siyos. That's the next one. This case of the bima is talking about also an elevated platform, and they used to use the elevated platform to go and push people down from it down to the ground. So again, this is being used for.
Is a bima synonymous with a bama?
A bima is it probably comes from. It may come from the same shoresh. In both of them are elevated. However, a bama is either something that they actually worshipped, or they had avodah zarah on top of the bama as a platform, and then they put the idol on top of it, and then they worshipped it. So bamas were used as part of idol worship. This bima over here, says Rashi, was used lidchoif misham ish, to push people down from the platform. L'hamisoito kelem. So all of these. It's very similar to skila. But of course in Sanhedrin it tells us, how often did someone get skila? Once in 70 years, and then the Beis Din was already criticized for being a Beis Din katlonis. Here you're talking about the Akum, probably they had such skilas 5 times a day, if not 5 times an hour, and don't be surprised if most of the victims were Jews. Anyway, getting back to Gemara, therefore do not assist them in any of these. And Rashi says, it's similar to the case of Dum Varoyes, Choldav Sheish, and Nezek L'Rabim. These buildings are all Nezek L'Rabim. Ava, but you are allowed to buy Nimoyim Bimoisiois or Beis Merchatzos. So the Bimoisiois, says Rashi, was that Bima that we were talking about, that they would go and altar. In fact, Rashi even uses the term altar, that this was used for Takroivis Avodah Zarah. Presumably, they would go and do similar to what we do, Lahavdil, and that they would go and be Maktir some of either the entire animal or the Amorin on their altar. So why are we allowed to go and assist them? Isn't that assisting the Avodah Zarah? So Rashi says, I'm sorry?
It's Lifnei Iver, you're helping them in Avodah Zarah.
Okay, so Rashi says, this is a Tashmish to Tashmish, like a Gzeira to Gzeira. What does that mean? I'm not supplying them the animal for the Takroides. That would be the Tashmish for the Avodah Zarah. In other words, you're helping them worship the Avodah Zarah. That would be prohibited. But to go and build the altar on which they're going to put the takroidus for the Avodah Zarah, that's already like a tashmish to tashmish, a gzeira to gzeira, that already is permissible. That's how Rashi learns here in the Amud Aleph. Tosis disagrees very, very vehemently, and the Tosis is so vehement that the publishers couldn't print it here in the Amud Aleph, they put it on the Amud Beis. And Tosis on the Amud Beis, Tezayin Amud Beis, you'll see the fourth Tosis on the top, Bimoy Siois. He first brings the Rashi about bringing the Takroivis on the altar. Tosis doesn't like that pshat. And therefore, Tosis towards the end, about 8-9 lines before the bottom of that Tosis, says the Kachnir Lari, that the Girsa is not Bimoisiois, but Dimoisiois, with a Dalid, Vuloshin Merchatzois. And this means a Beis HaMerchatz. And in fact, if you continue the Mishnah talks about Boin Imoim, Dimoisiois, to Beis Merchatzois. So you're going to go and tell me, so these are now synonymous? We're talking about different types of Beis Merchatz, higher and lower. Rashi describes some of the construction over here. If you look in the Rashi, fourth wide line, Merchatzois, Bekarkein Asuyun, Amukim Oid, has a deep basement, so to speak, where there's water all the way down below. V'mayim Neuflin Mitachas, the water goes from underneath. V'noshim Roichtzin Milmala Al Gabi Hanasarim. People would go and take their baths and showers and all the rest, not down below, but on top in the sarm. The sarm are planks, where the water presumably would drain between the planks and go all the way down. So this is Merchatzois. And Dimoisiois apparently is a different model, a different structure. But bottom line, since you're talking about Merchatzois, that's not a problem. Finally, Higia Lekipa, Shema Midim Bavoyis Kechovim, Oser Livnois. What's Heistos? Rashi says that this is referring to a statue of Aphrodite. Aphrodite, I'm sure, Barry and Ariel and others can tell us more about the Greek mythology involving Aphrodite. Sorry?
She's the goddess of fertility.
Goddess of fertility. So, okay. Good. So it was the minig of the pagans to go and make such a statue of Aphrodite, and they would go and put it up next to the base Merchet Shelahem. What is the kippah that we're talking about? Says Rashi, this was either a platform or this was an enclosure to enclose that Aphrodite statue. So he gave a kippah shemrina voitzachavim, also live nice. This is already prohibited. Why? Because it's already a tashmish for the voitzar. The voitzar needs to, I guess, be on a pedestal, so they would build that bima on top of which they would have your Avodah Zarah called the Aphrodite, and or some other special chamber that they built around it. Anyway, this is prohibited because you are serving and aiding and abutting the Avodah Zarah itself. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. We said, Ein moich lehem dumen varoyis, chol davi sheish mei nezek l'rav. Omer av chanan bar rav chizim, v'yamilo omer av chanan bar rova omer rav. Remember two names here, Rav Chanan. There are two Rav Chanans, Rav Chanan bar Rav Chizda and Rav Chanan bar Rava. The Gemara later on in Rashi just talk about Rav Chanan, so we don't have to get involved which one of the two. They said in the name of Rav. Chayegasa harihi kebehemedaka lepirchus avaloy lemachira. This halacha pirchus is something that we have not come across until now. It's a Gemara Masechtas Chulin. What happens if you have an animal which is misukenes, which is in danger of dying shortly? So if you're an owner of such an animal, what you're going to try to do is bring it to the shoychet immediately. He should shecht it before the animal dies. Because once the animal dies, you're just going to have a nevela, which is worth only a small percentage of what animal, which is a geshachtene, a shchuta. So you quickly bring it to the shoychet. But what happens if, in fact, this animal were so much misukan that it was about to die anyway, and you're shechting therefore a dead animal? So the Gemara in Sechtes Chulin says it depends whether it's a behema daka or behema gasa. If it's a behema gasa, all you have to have is that the animal should stretch one of its limbs post shechita, and therefore it showed that it had enough energy to go and be poshet yad, to just spread out its hand. It's, of course, this is a jerking type of thing after the animal is geshachted. If it had enough energy to go and spread out, extend one of its limbs, then it's kosher, you don't have to worry. When it comes to behemoth daka, on the other hand, no. It has to be a double action. Both that it extends its limb, and then that it folds it back in. If it's a double action, then you know that it was sufficiently alive, that the shechita is okay. However, if it's only able to go and extend its limb and not fold it back again, then we assume that the animal was already a goner, and the shechita does not help to go and be metayer to be able to go and eat from it. That's by a behemah daka and a behemah gasa. What about a chaya gasa? Chaya, of course, is a wild animal. Gasa, a big wild animal. Harihika behemah daka lepirchus. Same halacha applies. Now, of course, if you're talking about a lion, or you're talking about an elephant, these are not kosher animals anyway. We're talking about when you have kosher venison, kosher deer, and things of that nature, kosher buffalo, things of that nature. Oh, so there too, if it was sickly, and you're afraid that maybe it was about to die, it has the same status as behemah daka, that after the shechita, see whether it moves its limbs back and forth. If it just moves it forth, that's not enough. It's got to be back and forth. Then you know that it was sufficiently alive, and then therefore it could be kosher with the shechita. So that's the din legabi pirchus. Avloim mechira. When it comes to mechira, chai gasa does not have the din like a behema daka, as a din of a behema gasa. What's the difference between behema daka and behema gasa legabi mechira? Remember, we said in the previous Mishnah, the behema daka, it depended on the minig hamakayim. Makayim shenaga limkar moichin. Makayim shenaga limkar ein moichin. What was the reason for the two different minhagim? Whether they used it l'revia or not. However, behemah gasa b'chol makom it's asur. So therefore, a chayegasa is like a behemadaka for pirchus purposes, but not for mechira purposes. Meaning, by behemadaka, some places they were no hake to sell. In a case of achayagasa, nowhere you cannot sell it. It has the same status like a behemagasa, no mechira, period. That's what Rav said. Vani oimis, says Rav Chanan, I respectfully disagree with Rav. Aflu mechira, it depends. Mokshis noga limkar, mechir shlem limkar, ein mechir. Ah, so therefore we have a machloikis between Rav Chanan and the Rav, legabi achayagasa. Can you sell it, yes or no? Rav says emphatically, no. While Rav Chanan says, it depends on the minik hamok. Okay, so let's bring a ray from our Mishnah. Tana. Ein moichel hendum varoyis. Well, called up sheyesh bein nezek l'rabim. Now, what's the reason why? Taima de'is bein nezek l'rabim. Because these are dangerous animals, like dangerous instrumentalities, like a klei zayin. What happens, however, ha'les bein nezek l'rabim? What happens if they would not cause nezek? How could Duma Varoyis not cause nezek? Says Rashi, if you have, for instance, an Ari Tarbus, you have a lion that you are able to domesticate and train not to go and cause damage. And if you're going to say to me, you've never heard of something like that, well, if you've ever been to a circus, years ago when they allowed for things like this in the circus, you were able to see that there was a lion trainer. Of course, every once in a while, every once in 5 or 10 years, we hear that there was a fight between the Ari and the trainer, and unfortunately the lion won out. But under normal circumstances, you can train them to be domesticated, so they're no longer nezek l'rabim, so then it's mashma mishnah shari, it's mutter. It's a haraya to Rav Chanan, akasha and Rav, because Rav says, never, you're never allowed to loy l'machira, you're not allowed to go and sell a chayagasa. From our mishnah's mashma, it's domesticated, you are allowed to go and sell. Everything, Amar Rabba Bar Ula, our mishnah is a das yochad, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Parishavar valiba the Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say before? Legabe behema gasa. That if it's a shvura, Rabbi Yehuda mata b'shvura. So our Mishnah that implicitly says that if it's a domesticated ari, a behema gasa, you're allowed to go and sell. Oh, it's talking about that it was shavur, that it had a broken leg, ari shavur, and it goes like Rabbi Yehuda that says you're allowed to go and sell the shvura. Ravashi says, you don't have to say it's talking about a shover. Stam Ari, shover who ate some malacha. Even if it's domesticated, you think that Ari is going to start going and plowing in the field? Give me a break. A lion is not going to do something like that. So
we're not selling a lion to work. We're talking about them as being dangerous instrumentalities that can be used against Jews.
Correct.
So what are we talking about, shover or not shover? It's not a malacha question. It's a klei zayin question.
Please go back to the Omid Aleph and see the diuk of the Gemara. Tanan. Two lines to the bottom. If they are dangerous, then they could be used for shvichas damim, like you just said. Now we're making a diuk. Ha'les bein nezek l'rabim. What happens if they are not able to do nezek? Says Rashi, why? For instance, like an ari tarbus that is no longer dangerous, then sure, that it's mutter. So it doesn't say that in the Mishnah, but this is a diuk that the Gemara is saying, and therefore it's implicit in the Mishnah as long as it's domestic. What's the problem?
Ah. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. Question where this is. Anyway, Halas Vein Nezek L'Rabim Shari. If there's no Nezek L'Rabim, it's mutter, because it's domesticated. Is Dr. Gemara, Rav said you're now let to go and sell them, period. Or Rabbi Ulabari Shavur, our Mishnah is talking about, in other words, the diuk of the Ari Tarbas. When is it mutter if it has a broken leg? Because it has a broken leg, says Rabbi Yehuda, shavur shvura is mutter. That's in our mission going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Or Rav Ashi Amar, you don't have to go and say that it has a broken leg. As long as it's domesticated, you have dreams and aspirations that this Ari is going to work in your garden, in your field. Mister, you are insane. Because an Ari is not going to do malacha. So even if it doesn't have a broken limb, stamari shavurhu eitzel mulach. Frankti mariet meisvei kishem shein moichem mehen. So, bottom line is we enter the kasha on Rav from our Mishnah. Now we're going to ask a kasha from a braisa on Rav Chanan. So you want a meisvei kishem shem moichin lehen behem agasa kach ein moichin lehen chay agasa. Just like you're not allowed to sell a behem agasa, you're not allowed to sell a chay agasa. Vafilu b'mokshim shem moichin lehen behem adaka. Even in those mekoymis where they're matir to sell behem adaka, chay agasa ein moichin lehen. Period. That's word for word like Rav. The Rav said in the Yomid Aleph, Avaloy l'mechira. Abzach shver on Rav Chanan, because Rav Chanan said, no, it's like a behem adaka. Some mekoymis yos, some mekoymis nish. Tiyufta Rav Chanan barava, tiyufta, says the Gemara, this is such a solid braisa that it frags up Rav Chanan barava, a raya to Rav, and not like Rav Chanan barava. Now the Gemara repeats this whole shtickle Torah, but in a little bit of a different order. We started off asking Akasha from the Mishnah on Rav, because we said the Mishnah, in a case of a domesticated animal, it's mutter, and Rav says it's always osser, so it's a raiter of Chanan Barava. And then here at the Gemara, we just concluded now a braisa, which is just like Rav, Akasha on Rav Chanan Barava. And we said Tiyuft. So it says in Gemara, Ravina Rami Maslisan Abraisa. Ravina learned in a different yeshiva, and in his yeshiva they started off the Gemara asking a stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Umishani. And he answered, what's the stira? Again, we repeat. Tanan, Ein Moichelen Dur Maroi Velekavashiesh Boi Nezek L'Rabbe. Taimud is Bein Nezek. That's Tafka because they are dangerous. Holes Bein Nezek. What happens if you have an Ari Tarbus, an Ari that was trained? Then Moichel, then you're allowed to. That's what is mashma. And based on that, we have a raya to Rav Chanan Akasha on Rav. Or many we have a preferish of raisa. Kishem shein moichem behem gasa kach ein moichem chaya gasa. Vafilu ba mokshim shem moichem behem adaka chaya gasa ein moichem. You're not allowed to sell. So therefore it's mamish like Rav. No exceptions to the rule. Ein moichem. So we have a stira between the Mishnah, which is mashma like Rav Chanan, and the braisa, which is mashma like Rav. Umishani, and for the stira, the kasha, we said that the Mishnah is talking about Ari Shavar, Valid Rabbi Yehuda. Or Ravashi Homer Stamari, Shavar, who ate some malacha. So therefore, there's no stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda says that a Shvura, you're allowed to go and sell. And even any Ari Shavar has a, every Ari has a status like an Ari Shavar, and therefore, that's why it says in the Mishnah that it's mutter, alibed Rabbi Yehuda, and the braisa goes according to Rabbanan, not according to Rabbi Yehuda, with Rabbanan aser even a shover, even a shvura. Sorry, there's no stira anymore. But we're not finished yet, Rabbi said. Maskel Rav Nachman. Ravashi Omer Stamari Shover Eitz Mulacha. Yeah? The same thing we said before. Maskel Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Freit Yitz Akasha. I don't even understand the premise of your original Kasha on Rav. On Rav. And on Rav Chonin, Matan Rav Nachman, Man Leimelon Ari Chayegasi Dilma Chayedakehi. After all, if you go back to the original Machloikas Rav Chonin Bar Rav Chizda, Rav Chonin Bar Rov in the name of Rav, Chayegasa. We're not talking about a Chayedaka. If you're talking about an Ari, isn't an Ari a Chayedaka? If you ever go to the zoo, you'll see that the average lion is not much bigger than a large dog that you have here on the west side. So it's not a behemoth. It's not an elephant. It's not a hippopotamus. It's not a rhinoceros. It's a relatively small chaya. So maybe our Mishnah has nothing to do with this machlekes in the first place. And therefore, it's totally unrelated to this whole machlekes. And the Gemara does not give a teretz, and it leaves Rav Nachman's question standing. But we go back to what we spoke about before. Rav Ashi, Daik Masnisen, Umoysef Tiyufta. Remember, we originally brought the Mishnah as a kasha on Rav, and a raya to Rav Chonin. Because our Mishnah said the only time you're not allowed to go and sell, if it's dangerous. It's the Chmashra that if it's not dangerous, you're allowed to go and sell. Which is Rav Chonin, not like Rav. And then we had to go and give a teretz. Nah, it's talking like Rabbi Huda, that the Ari is Shavar, or Rav Ashi says, every Ari is Shavar who ate some malacha. This is the same Rav Ashi again, and Rav Ashi takes his argument that every Ari is Shavar who ate some malacha, and now turns the Mishnah around. Instead of bringing a raya to Rav Chanan and a kasha on Rav, just the opposite. we're going to bring a raya to Rav and a kasha on Rav Chanan. How? Let's go back to the Mishnah tonight. Ein moichel hem tu b'varoyes. V'lo kol davar sheyesh bei nezek l'rav. Taim adis bei nezek. That's only because it is dangerous. Hales bei nezek, if it would not be dangerous, moichel you'd be allowed to go and sell. Like the case of an ari tarbus. V'taim ari, distam ari, shover hu eitzim alocha. The whole reason is that we would allow for the sale of an ari if it's not dangerous, if it has been tamed and domesticated, because you can't use an ari anyway, and therefore it goes like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's a behemah shvura, you're allowed to sell. So this ari is considered to be a shavu. So I'm going to be medayik from that. That's tafkin ari is shavu etz malacha. Avamidiachrina, the oven malacha, but any other type of wild animal that would do malacha. And I know you're thinking to yourself, which wild animal does malacha? The Gemara is going to address that in another two lines. But in the meantime, if it's not an ari, another wild animal that could be domesticated to do malacha, it's mashmaloi. It's only the ari is mutter to go and sell, because every ari, even if it's domesticated, it's shover. But it's mashmaloi. Any other chayagasa, it would be prohibited to sell. Why? Because it can do malacha. Oy, is the shver and Rav Chanan? Rav Chanan said, no, that depends on the mekoymis. Some mekoymis you are allowed to go and sell. Says l'choy rashtar karaya to Rav, that only an ari shover. In other words, that every ari, according to Rav Ashi, is shover. But any other chayagasa, you're not allowed to go and sell. Is the karaya to Rav, tiyofta Rav Chanan Barava, tiyofta. So instead of asking Akasha on Rav Chanan Barava from that braisa, Rav Ashi has changed or transformed our Mishnah instead of a rioter of Chanan, rather as a kashan of Chanan. Antioch. Frey Timar, you just said a moment ago that midiachrina, meaning there are chayos gasois that do malocha. V'chaye gasa, mias mai malocha avda. Can you tell me any case of a chaye gasa that does malocha? Omer Abaye, Omeli Mar Yehuda, Tbei Mar Yuchni, Tachni Reichayim Ba'aroidi. Oh, this is like we had back on the Amud Aleph. In the Amud Aleph, we were talking about old horses. Now we're talking about aroidi. Aroidi are wild chamoyrim, wild donkeys. Wild donkeys can be domesticated to be tochni berechayim, to go and crush and grind tvua into small particles. So that's the Kashrut Mishnah. The only time that we allow for domesticated animals to be sold is an Ari, because Ari is not going to do malacha anyway. And it goes like Rav Yehuda, if you're not worried about malacha, you can go and sell. But a wild animal that can be used for malacha, such as such an Aroid, you're not allowed to sell. Tacharai to Rav, Kasha Tiyufta on Rav Chanan Bar Rav. Nushtikul, Om Rav Zeira, Kavin Be Rav Yehuda. When I learned in the yeshiva of Rav Yehuda. Now Rashi reminds us that Rav Yehuda was originally a Talmud of Rav, and after Rav passed away, Rav Yehuda moved over to the Bes Medrash of Shmuel. And that's why frequently in the Gemara you have Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and you also have Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And you have other Gemaras where when Rav Yehuda came in front of Shmuel, Shmuel asked Rav Yehuda, tell me, what did Rav say about this halach? Now with that introduction, you'll understand the next 20 lines very easily. So Om Reb Zera, when I was a Talmud by Rav Yehuda, Om Alon, he told us, Gemir Minoi, we have a Kabbalah, Ha Milza, the Megaver Rabba Shmili, the following Dvar Torah, I heard from a Gaver Rabba, and now Rav Yehuda says about himself, V'lo Yadana, Ime Rav, Ime Shmuel. I don't remember who I learned this from. It was years ago. I may have learned it 20 years ago from Rav, or maybe 10 years ago from Shmuel. I don't remember. But what did one of them say? That when it comes to Pirchus, remember we spoke about an animal which was Misukenes, that when you're talking about a Behem Bedaka, how do you know that it was not Misukan? You see the jerking after the Shechita. If it went back and forth, it's kosher. So I heard this halacha either from Rav or from Shmuel that we, of course, we know that on the Amud Aleph, Rav Chanan quoted this in the name of Rav. But Rav Yehuda did not remember who he heard this from. So now, says Rav Zera, when he was in the Smedish of Rav Yehuda, he heard Rav Yehuda say this halach, and he didn't know what it was. Rav Shmuel says now Rav Zera, Ki asoy le Kurkunya, when I got to the town of Kurkunya, Ashkachti le Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, I met the Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, V'yosef v'k'omar, Mishmei de Shmuel. He said the name of Shmuel. Chayegasa harihi kebehem medaka le Pirchus. And therefore, says now Rav Zera, Amina, Shma Amina, Mishmei de Shmuel, Itmar. Must be that he, Rav Yehuda, heard in the name of Shmuel, because Rav Chiya Bar Ashi quoted this halacha in the name of Shmuel. Ki asoy le Surah, sometime later when I came to the town of Surah, Ashkach le Rabba Bar Yirmia. Remember this Rabba Bar Yirmia? Di yosef ka'om alei mishmei de Rav. Chayegasa harike behema daka le Pirchus. Amina says now Rav Zera, Shma Amina, Itma Mishmei de Rav, Itma Mishmei de Shmuel. That Rav Yehuda, in fact, heard it from both. He heard it originally from Rav, and then when he moved to the Smedish of Shmuel, after Rav's passing, he heard the same halacha from Shmuel. But we're not finished yet. Continues Rav Zera. Kislikis lahasim, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkachti l'Rav Asi, I saw the Rav Asi, the Yosef v'Kamar, he was saying, Om Rav Choma Bar Guria, Mishmei d'Rav, Chayegasa hirkebei madaka le'pirchus. When I heard Rav Asi say that, I, Reb Zera, said to him, Amrile, v'loi sover lomar d'man mora d'shmaitza, Rabba bar Yirmia. Go back a few lines. When I was in Surah, everybody said that this halacha was the name of Rabba bar Yirmia, not in the name of Rav Choma bar Guria. So Amale, so now Rav Asi responded, he told him, Pasya uchma, minoi uminach, tistayim shmaitza. What means pasi uchma? Literally, it means the one that is wearing black clothing. Why did he call him the one that's wearing black clothing? So Rashi says that this was really a compliment. It shows we're talking about Talmid Chachamim, who spent 20 out of 24 hours learning, to the point that they were not concerned with laundering their garments on a daily basis. Their cheshik and their sole motivation in life was to learn so much that they said, I'll launder the clothes tomorrow or the next day. I don't have time today. I have to review Shas again today. I just don't have the time. So this was a complimentary form of saying, I see that you're obviously a great masmid learning. I want you to know, minoy, from me, and from you together, Tistayim Shmaitzer will now be able to repeat this properly. What is that? Itmanami. Om Reb Zera, that's Reb Zera over here. Om Reb Asi, saying the name of Reb Asi in Eretz Yisrael. Om Rabba Bar Yirmia, that's the one that we came to in Surah. Om Rav Choma Bar Guria, saying now in the name of Choma Bar Guria, who's the one that Rav Asi quoted. Om Rav in the name of Rav. So bottom line is, what's the answer to the question? Rav Asi said, I personally heard it from Rav Choma Bar Guria. Rav Choma Bar Guria heard it from Rabba Bar Yirmia. I didn't know anything about Rabba Bar Yirmia. I don't know Rav Choma Bar Guria. He's a local. I don't know what Rabba Bar Yirmia, but since you're telling me that Rabba Bar Yirmia said it, fine. So Rav Choma Bar Guria heard it from Rabba Bar Yirmia, and or Rabba Bar Yirmia said the name of Rav Choma Bar Guria, maybe Fakert, said the name of Rav, and therefore it's taka both of them. Both of them are in the chain of repeating it in the name of Rav. Why is it so?
Famous, Zera was famous for singeing himself to test to see if in an oven, and he was also called one of the singed thighs, the black thighs, because he singed himself. I believe that's from Zera, yeah.
Yes, chorik sake. No, chorik shake. Chorik means singed. Shake means his shoik. His legs got singed. One time, he did something wrong. Normally, he went in every single month, and he came out the exact same way. Though that he went in. One time he did some minor sin, and as a result, his shoik got burnt. Shkoyach. Finally, Ein Boinin. Okay, the next Gemara is very simple. We said in the Mishnah, you cannot build a basilica, and we defined the basilica was the place where they had both a courtroom, where they decided whether the person gets punished, and if the punishment was execution, they would execute him on the spot by throwing him off the roof, so the person would never die. So don't assist them in that basilica. There are three different types of basilicas. Shel malchi oivdei kachavim, the malachim have their palaces. Vishal merchatzois, or used for base merchatz. Vishal oitzrois, oitzrois sounds like for a treasure house, storage house. Rashi says, l'skulas hamelech boinim binyan chazak. It's a skula for the melech to have this huge tower. In other words, a tower of basilica which wasn't used for any real purpose, only to show a sign of strength that he is a great seknaker, this melech. Therefore, he built this huge tower so it looks so important and so imposing. Okay, so those are the three basilicas. It's Omer Rava, Beis Lehetav Yechel Iser. Two of them you're allowed to help out, one you're not allowed to help out. Which two are you allowed? You're allowed to help them build the Beis Merchitz. That's just for a bathhouse. Shaloitzis, and to go and show off that he has this beautiful tower, that's fine. But you're not allowed to help him out with the Malchi of the Kechavim. And the Gemara assumes that these were not just residences, but that's where the Malachim, in fact, would have their courtroom, so to speak, and that they would go and sentence people to death, and then ultimately use it for execution. So those are two lehetav yechel iser, the simon, so that you should remember, lesser malcheyem bezikim. We have that, of course, every single day in the Pesukim of Zimra. Parsha Pshat, lesser means to tie, and zikim are with chains or cords or rope. Lesser malcheyem bezikim, to go and tie the malachim with these cords or ropes. However, the way the Gemara is darshaning it as a simon, think of the word lesser as the word isur, prohibited. It's prohibited to go and assist the Malachim if it's a basilica shel Malachim. If it's basilica shel Merchitz and Oitzer, that's okay. But not shel Malchi Oivdicham. Ve'ekeli Amri. Others had a different version. Amr Rava Kulam Leheter. All three of them are mutter. All three are mutter? But tonight did we learn that Mishnah ain't boini ma'in basilki gardim itzda ubima. The state befeirish in Nala to help them in basilki. And you're telling me all of them Leheter. And for the Gemara, Ema, shel garden v'shel itztaye v'shel bima. Don't go and learn that there are four separate entities. There's a basilica, mit a garden, mit itztaye, and a bima. No, there are only three entities altogether. And the Mishnah is saying, ein boinim basilica. What type of basilica am I talking about? A basilica that's used expressly and singularly for a garden, for an itztaye, and for a bima. However, a basilica that's being used for those other purposes, Malchi Oivdei Kechavim, those weren't used for execution. That was the residence of the Melech, and that's presumably where he had visitors that came that wanted to meet the king, would meet him in that basilica, or the Beis Merchitz. Those are all mutter according to Zik of the Amri. Those that are Aser in the Mishnah are those buildings that were used solely for executing people, or for bullfights, or the similar. Stop over here, Aboisai. Mechem continue on Sunday morning.